Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. I'm Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team. We have in the studio working to make everything go correct, push the right buttons, get us on the air, Mr. John McKay. John, how are you?
Oh, there's a story behind that. Doing well. You know what happens when you leave your patio cushions out and it rains like that?
Uh-oh.
Giant sponges.
Well, hopefully we've seen the... I mean, it was almost a record October and...
Seattle broke their rainfall record for October.
It was absolutely insane. And so, yeah, it's kind of nice to be showing homes and not tracking water in everywhere. So we're going to get a little break here and get a bunch more properties sold. In the studio with us, our in-house lending specialist, Mr. Tom Coyne with Umpqua. Tom, how are you doing?
You know, fantastic. We're a little tired these days. Got additional bags under the eyes, raising a puppy.
Oh, no. You brought a new one home.
Yeah, we did. Cute little thing, but he has to go to the bathroom a lot during the night.
So. Yeah, and as a real estate agent, please keep that outside.
Yes.
I've shown houses where that's not the case, and I don't like to show those.
I don't want to be that house that has the puppy smell, and you're like nose blind. To them, right? But everyone else that comes in smells it.
So. Boy dog, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's even more of a challenge.
Yeah, you absolutely do not want that inside the home. So I'm glad you're getting up in the in the evenings and late evenings and taking care of that.
And like you said, it's been raining. So it hasn't been too fun to go outside and just stand in the pouring rain. Well, and the dog's hiding underneath me because he doesn't want to get wet.
Oh, dogs don't want... We have to shove our dogs outside the door.
Oh, that is hilarious. Well, thanks again for keeping it outside so I don't have to sell that house with a bunch of urine smell
no
in
problem.
It. So.
No problem.
Very, very good. Well, it has been a... It was a very, very busy October, I think, on a local note on our team. I was meeting with the team and overview, looking at things the last couple days. I think we had 28, 29 closings in October. So big, big month. Tom, I know you guys have still been... People always ask in the fall and coming into early winter... You've still been real busy, too, on the lending side.
Yeah, you know, we just hit a personal best. We closed 31 loans this last month, which was a personal record for us. We'd never been able to hit that 30 mark. We'd hit 29 before. So it was quite an achievement. Huge thanks to all my team out there. We've all been working really hard to get all those loans closed and a lot of happy customers. And, I mean, couldn't be more thrilled with the results.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations on that. And we'll just keep knocking it out and finish off the year strong. I mean, it's really looking record rainfall we talked about, but I think we're going to end up with a record real estate sales also. That everything is still just cranking along really, really strong. Well, we always like to take a look at what's going on and come up with our topic for each week. And one of the things I was talking to Tom about and that we get a lot of requests for this time of year is what happens is people go back inside your house. You talked about the rain and the weather. People spend a lot more time inside. They're not out as much. And they start to look around and say, hey, you know what? I think I need to do some remodeling in here. And, man, this just isn't going to cut it for the next 5 or 6 months that I'm stuck inside. So I need to do some remodeling. Another thing that happens in a really hot market like we've had with a lot of people really busy is you have a lot of new contractors coming into town, starting up their businesses, and you don't always have a track record to go off of with these new contractors, or you might hire somebody else that you don't normally hire. And as we came through this process the last couple weeks, I saw this 3, 4, 5 times, and some of our even standard people that we use were booked out way longer than they normally are. And so you're forced to look at some alternatives. And so we had some customers saying to us, what's that process look like? What should we go through on that process? And how should we figure this out? Well, one of the first things that you can do is there's actually a great publication that's put out by Washington State Department of Labor and Industries. And what this does is you can go to protectmyhome.net, and they actually have a publication they put out about hiring contractors, remodelers, and handymen. And just so you know, kind of the history there, contractors are required to be registered in Washington, and they have some criteria here, and that is if They do any work that adds or subtracts from real estate. So if you're adding a room or adding a deck or a porch, or you're taking things off of the building, that's going to fall into that. If you provide advice or consultation on a construction project, you're going to need to be a registered contractor. Or now, contractors are not required if they're providing basic services like gutter cleaning or window washing, pruning or landscaping, or basic lawn care. That is, they're not going to be. If their construction project now in landscaping provides significant landscaping, absolutely, then you're going to have to look if they're adding to the property and not just maintaining the yard, then they're going to have to be licensed. So
I would have assumed that all have to be licensed. Actually, that's news.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. And some take the added step and become, mm-hmm. Because sometimes maybe you're cleaning gutters or doing something or cleaning windows, they're like, hey, can you just swap that window out for me? Mm-hmm. Big difference, but a lot of times people will get asked that. So some of these companies, like that service industry that we talked about, have gone the next step and gone ahead and just registered as a contractor. Hmm. Now, what that means to you, though, is that there's some financial recourse then, because they're required to have a bond. And what a bond does is that gives you some financial recourse to go after a contractor if there's an unfinished job or there's damages that happen. They also, contractors are required to have general liability coverage, so they're going to have insurance that covers damage to your property. You know, it's never a big deal until it's a big deal, right? Mm-hmm. You know, just kind of the standard, someone's working on your property, they get halfway through, and then they leave, they're out. The other advice that they put in there, that some of the things that you want to do is you want to make sure that you don't pay the entire amount until the job is done. So a lot of contractors will lay out a good schedule for you and go through that. But the biggest scams that happen is when unregistered, unlicensed contractors, or they're using fake names, they come in, they give you a fancy bid, everything looks legitimate, and they say, great, if we get a check, it's going to be $8,300. And if we get a check for $8,300, we'll be able to start on Monday. And you're like so excited because the other three people you've called were 4 months out, that you write the check, and then boom, that you never see that person again.
Well, where's the motivation for them to stick around and finish the job in a timely manner if they've already gotten paid versus the next guy who's ready to start his job and he thinks that looks pretty attractive too?
Absolutely. That's exactly what happens.
And you've seen those TV ads where the guy says, we're going to take out this load-bearing wall, cause all sorts of problems. Have you seen those commercials on TV?
Totally, like Mr. Mayhem type?
Yeah.
Where, yes. No, you're exactly right, is not knowing what they're doing. So the number one thing that we wrote down is hiring only licensed contractors for that job. The next thing that we wrote down that's big is that you can check for a history of complaints with the contractors board and the regulatory agencies. You can look into if there was any sort of complaint history or legal actions filed. Another thing, too, is we've had Jeff Losey in here with the HBA. Another great resource for people to know, is that person a member of the local HBA? And trust me, the HBA doesn't keep people around that's, not paying their bills or not going that extra step with that membership. And they have resources, too, where they can help you check the validity of this stuff out. One of the other great things that you can do that is a huge, huge one is you can check references and follow up with homeowners. If you're looking at a project like a major kitchen remodel and you're interviewing a contractor, ask that contractor, what are two of the most recent kitchen remodels similar to my project that you've done? And then can I get the name and number of those folks? I'd like to take a look at it. Two things can happen there. You can also try to get permission to go look at that job so you can see how that finishes. And the other thing is you can call that homeowner and you can ask some questions. Like, did they complete the job in the time frame they promised? There's a lot of stereotypes about contractors out there, and there's a lot of contractors that are fall right into that stereotype, but there's also a lot that are completely different than that, that have built out work schedules, specific time frames, performance objectives, and also how was the quality of the work? You can talk to that homeowner and say, what was the quality of work like? When you talk to somebody that's just been through a remodel project, you're going to get a very, very good look at the type of work that that contractor is going to do. And people are usually pretty quick to say exactly how they're feeling about something in those situations. So definitely check the references.
You know, Lance, you're reading this off, and a lot of this is what we do when we're going to approve a builder. So I'm excited to talk about that after the break.
Okay, that sounds fantastic. Today, folks, we're talking about hiring contractors, hiring builders, some of the questions you need to be asking. It's in that time of the season. You're in your house all the time now. The weather's turning a little bit. You're looking around, considering some remodel projects. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Tom on the lending side of things and how they look at this same issue.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about real estate fixes. You're inside your house a lot more this time of year. There's remodel projects, contracting projects that you want to get done. We've had a lot of people come to us in the last month or 2 months and just say, hey, I know I called one or two of the guys on your preferred provider list, and gosh, they're 2.5 months out. You know, it's part of our economy right now. It's part of our housing market. We have low inventory. The builders are trying to build as fast as they possibly can. So all the subcontractors have a lot of work right now. And so they're cranking out, and sometimes it's hard. So how do you evaluate that next contractor or a new contractor? What are some of the things you look at before you get them in your home tearing, as John McKay said, tearing out load-bearing walls and causing more damage? So we've talked a little bit about that, given some tips. There's some great publications out there. Washington State, our local home builders association. I'm going to turn it over to Tom for an update on the lending side of things and what they look at with a similar type issue.
You know, Lance, it's really nice. You're talking about a situation where a client's looking around for contractors to hire. They're doing their background checks and picking the person that they feel most comfortable with. What they're going to really feel at ease about is that the bank is going to require the exact same process that we'll do internally before we'll commit to financing this project. So I thought I'd talk about our builder approval process and how that looks. So we have a checklist, and we give it out to every builder that we don't already have a relationship with to go through the builder acceptance process. And that checklist is their resume, a completed W-9 form. We have them acknowledge what our insurance requirements are for them. You talked about the insurance and the bonding. We're going to get copies of that, and then workers' comp insurance if it's applicable. So the resume, though, is really the most important thing that we look at. We're going to make sure that they're, most importantly, licensed to do this sort of work that they're bidding out for you. And we also, of course, want to make sure that they have the appropriate levels of insurance. Now, we also kind of go one step further, and this is something that an individual wouldn't normally be able to do, but we're going to pull the owner's and the business's credit report. We want to make sure that they don't have a bunch of outstanding judgments or liens that could affect maybe how smooth your project goes. Trust me, we've seen it. It gets ugly. So, I mean, we really do our background checks on these builders to make sure that we avoid the builders who have potential problems. Umpqua is semi-conservative in nature with this regard, and there's plenty of builders out there with great reputations, great backgrounds, great credit that we're going to feel a lot more comfortable with. And when we run across someone who's got $10,000 liens against them, we're probably going to pass on them. So that's something that we do internally. We're also going to look at their years of experience in the field, how many homes they've built, how many projects they've completed that are similar to the one they're doing, and then how many they're currently working on. Let's say we have a builder who only has a history of doing 3 new builds a year, and they currently have 6 going, and they're bidding you out for a 7. Well, we might do a little bit more research to say, can he handle this 7th project? What is he doing now that he wasn't in the past that allows him to manage this as well, so that your project doesn't get strung on for twice as long as it's expected to? We're also, like you mentioned, we're going to ask for references to past customers, and we do call them. We want to see, how did it go? Did they finish your project when they say they were going to? Did you come in on budget? Were you satisfied with the service, with the quality of the work? And these are all things that we do. Now, we're not going to strictly base our decision off of a customer reference, but it does have some weight. So ultimately, our goal is to protect both the bank and the client from hiring an unqualified builder. Now, let's say you get the project approval process done and you want to look at financing this renovation loan. I love talking about this. We have a great product. It's our home style renovation loan. We can also do, and that's up to loans above 400, up to 417,000, and over 417,000, we don't have a limit. We'll use our in-house construction loan for that. One challenge people generally have of financing these projects is coming up with the cash to do it. And the reason is if you're doing a cash out refinance, you're only going to be allowed to go to 80% of the current value. Let's say you owe $80,000 on your home. It's currently worth $100,000. You're already at 80%. So there's no more room to go above that. Our renovation loan allows us to use the future appraised value after that work's completed. You get me your plans, your specs, your contract, description materials. We give that to an appraiser. He goes out and tells us what the project will be worth after it's completed, and we'll end up to 95% of that value. So assuming you're getting semi-close to dollar to dollar, depending on your equity position, most people can finance the entire renovation with absolutely nothing out of pocket. Really, really easy way to get funds for this. Without the renovation loan, we would be capped at 80% of what the current appraisal is. And maybe you're adding a room and a bathroom, and those things really do add value. So great product. I love doing these. Rates are extremely competitive. We use our standard conventional pricing for it. So if you, once you get done talking with Lance's team and get lined up with a contractor, feel free to reach out. I'd love to chat with you about how the financing piece of it works and get you approved and ready to go.
Tom, that's good information, especially for people that have been in their home, 7, 8, 9 years and have an equity position already and then can look at making those changes. That's smart. So good program. And I learned some things about your guys' approval process for your builders that I did not know that you already do. That makes me feel even more comfortable about somebody being on that list.
And we just had a builder that we had to decline. And, the client was at first upset about it because he wants to get his house started. But when I sit down and talk about why we go through these and what we were declining him for, he ultimately said, well, I'm glad you guys do those background checks because that's something I didn't know.
Good information. I always like to get out there right now this time of year, and that's some new property that we have. We have some new listings still selling extremely, extremely fast and competitively below $250,000. So I pulled some new ones up right in that range. 6103 West 4th Avenue in Kennewick. This is a 4-bedroom, 2-bath home in West Kennewick, 1776 square feet. You've got formal dining room, updated kitchen. You've got a custom-built movable island that has a breakfast bar and storage. Master bedroom is connected to the full bath, cultured marble tub and surround. Fantastic, fantastic home. Lower level offers a family room with a fireplace and that 4th bedroom. Lots of upgrades to the fixtures throughout the house. Great 2-car garage, fully fenced, park-like backyard. That's coming in for $222,500. So a lot of home for that price point right now. Pick number 2, 5714 West 15th Avenue in Kennewick. This is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath Rambler in Creekstone. Great, great floor plan. You've got wood flooring, tile throughout. That open floor plan with the living room, open to the dining area and the kitchen. Great master suite with private bathroom, slider off the living room to a great, great patio. great entertaining space. This coming in at 200,000. So getting into Creekstone under 200 in this market, that's a fantastic, fantastic opportunity. Pick number three, 7907 Madera Drive in Pasco. Now, this is a four-bedroom, three-bath, West Pasco home, 2232 square feet. You've got large formal living room and a formal dining room, big kitchen, huge master suite with bay windows on the upper level, private bath, soaking tub, and shower. And you've got a half bath and laundry room down on the main level. RV, boat parking, coming in at $219,900. So we really hit this week with some great inventory in that mark under $250,000. So if you have any questions about that, go to KenmoreTeam.com, shoot us a message. We would love to show you those. Back to the remodeling projects and working with your contractor. So now let's say you found that contractor, everything checks out, they're licensed, the reviews were good. So you go into that project, and one of the things you want to do is you want to make sure that the plans you're using are written down and that they include everything you want in the bid. This is probably one of the biggest source of contentions and complaints that happen with contractors, because you want to be very specific regarding the quality of materials, all the way down to name brands, colors, and sizes that are going to be installed. So, you know, say you're doing a kitchen remodel and you don't know any better. The bid comes in at $10,000 and you're like, gosh, this is fantastic. I was thinking it was going to be $15,000. And you say yes, and you move forward, and you go with that project, and it comes down, and all of a sudden you notice that there's a kitchen sink allowance for $150. Well, if you've ever tried to buy a kitchen sink for $150 and you go into some of these stores and check out, you know, that's not the farmhouse sink recessed that you were thinking in your mind. You know, that might be just an allowance that was given, and you're going to have to pay any extra. So now all of a sudden you're like, okay, it wasn't a $150 sink. It was a, you know, $400 sink that I was thinking. So being as specific as you can up front in that bidding process is going to absolutely change the course of your project.
Lance, I'm so glad you're talking about this. I tell people all the time, take your time with your builder and make sure you're getting into the very specific details, because you know as well as I do, these builders charge change order fees.
Absolutely. So on top of the difference that you're going to be getting, yeah, Tom, I didn't even have that in my notes. That's a great. On top of the difference, you're going to have a change order fee for even changing it out in the first place. So that's absolutely, I mean, this is probably the basis for 80% of the disagreements that end up happening in that industry. So you want to make sure, what color? Is it two-tone paint? Is the ceiling, you know, you're painting a room. Are the walls one color and the ceiling's a separate color? So you've got a different charge for that change that comes in that paint change. We talked about sinks, faucets, and fixtures. Doing as much of this ahead of time as you can will help give you an idea of where you're really going to come in on that bid, because there's nothing worse than saying you would save $10,000 for a project, you're comfortable with that, and then at the end of the deal, you get a bid for 14, you're having to go into your savings or your emergency fund for, you know, that other $4,000, and that's when people get upset. So being very, very specific in that process is a huge one. Also, the other thing that we get, and this is very difficult to get from people sometimes, and especially with the market the way it is right now, but the very best contractors out there are going to have a schedule for you. Ask to get a schedule of the work, when it's going to be performed, when it's going to be done, so that you have not only now those details, but you have a time frame in there. And so you can go forward with that time frame and hold the contractor accountable to that time frame.
You don't want your expectations to be different than the builders or the contractors.
Absolutely not. And it's funny that sometimes you always think back, and it's always kind of the under promise, over deliver. Mm-hmm. And you don't want it to be the opposite, because human nature, once you set that expectation, it's crazy. And it's amazing what a difference that concept makes. I'll just say the other day, I'd ordered a new phone, a new Apple iPhone, and Apple's like, the delivery is going to be, November 29th or whatever. Well, all of a sudden I got an email. And it's like, hey, everything went perfectly. It's actually going to be November 9th. I'm ecstatic about that.
Lance, I got my iPhone 7 a week before you.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Sorry, so I had to point it out.
I'm ecstatic about that, yeah. Right? So under promise, over deliver. Have that schedule in mind, because then people start to make plans around that. So I hope some of those tips helped. If you have any questions about these publications or where to go or about those contractors, feel free to hit us up at kenmoreteam.com. We'd love to help give you our suggestions and see what we can do there. Thank you again to the listeners and all of their referrals. We closed once again. We had a huge month last month. Many of those were referrals from our listeners to the radio show. So I can't thank you enough for that. And Tom, on the pre-approval side, how can people get a hold of you?
Well, my website is open 24 hours a day, tomcoinhomeloans.com. You can fill out an application there. You'll hear from us the next day.
And we will be right back
next week right here on News Talk 870.